Let's do that at this time, please. Heavenly Father, we're reminded again that we have a privilege of living in a wonderful land. Lord, we've got our problems. Circumstances and turmoil seem to be on every hand right now. And Lord, we believe we're in the last days. But Lord, we're grateful for what has been paid in the way of a price by our military in the past. And Lord, we're grateful also that there are some at this present time that are serving in the military. Some on foreign soil tonight with their life in danger, there to help protect the freedoms that we enjoy. Lord, we're grateful for that tonight. We pray for our military leaders that you'd give them wisdom. We pray for our president who's in charge of our military ultimately, and we pray him and the directors there would make the right decisions for our nation. Lord, we just pray that every family that has lost a loved one, Lord, would be comforted, especially those recently. You might comfort them in a very special way. Lord, we just take so much for granted. We want to be appreciative of everything that's done for us. Lord, I pray your blessing now upon those who are serving tonight, serving today, Lord, in the armed services. Watch over and help them. We think especially of family members within our congregation right here that are in the military. Protect them, watch over them, bring them home safely is our prayer, and just use them as you would see fit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Romans 5:9. Romans 5:9. We have been studying the book of Revelation, with which we're basically finished with. But I want to take a few minutes tonight to talk about some things concerning the doctrine of last things. That's called eschatology, a big long word there that means the study of last thing. You know, if I ask you, are you premillennial, postmillennial, or all millennial? What would you think? Got a couple of premillennialists here. What do you think you are tonight? Pre, post, or all millennial? Well, how about if I ask you if you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? What would you say about that? Okay. Well, our church doctrinally stands in a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial stance. And, of course, the word pre means before. Millennial is talking about the millennium of a thousand-year reign of Christ. And see, that's connected over there, isn't it? So we're talking about, we believe the Lord is going to come back prior to the thousand-year reign, a little rain upon this earth. So we're pre-millennial. Before the millennium is when we believe the Lord's going to return. A post-millennialist, of course, post meaning after, believes the Lord's going to return after the millennium. And what they think is that the morals of the world are gradually improving through the preaching of the gospel, and that men become brothers over all the earth, and that wickedness will disappear, and then that's going to usher in the millennium. And that's their theory. Or they use a verse like in Peter there, where it talks about helping to bring in the kingdom or something along that line. And then an all-millennialist, all means no. And so he doesn't believe in a millennium at all. What he believes is that the millennium is going on right now, that all the Old Testament prophecies speak of Christ reign. They're being carried on right now in the church age through the gospel and through the grace that is present right now. And people like Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, and Roman Catholics would be all millennials. We're premillennialists. We believe the Lord's going to come back before the millennium. So with that said then, will church believers go through the tribulation, the day of wrath? Well, the pre-tribulationists don't think they will, because they believe the Lord's going to come back prior to the tribulation time. Pre-tribulational, before the tribulation. And then a mid-tribulationist believes that the church or the Christian is going to go through the first half of the tribulation, and then the second half he'll be taken out, and that's known the time of great wrath, and he won't be in that. There's a lot of mid-tribbers around, incidentally. And post-trib, not very many of those around, but they would believe and hold to the fact that the Lord's coming back after the whole tribulation is over, then that's when he'll return. Well, in Romans 5:9, the Bible says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So one of the promises we've got is we're saved through the wrath. Now, we all go through hardships and troubles and trials in life. That's not what the wrath is talking about. The wrath is generally accepted as being the judgment of God upon this earth, and that's during the tribulation time. So the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth for 7 years, and the promise we have in Romans 5:9 is that we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Obviously, another aspect of wrath would be the judgment for eternity, and certainly we'd be saved from that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So again, we've been promised that the wrath to come, and I believe that's a direct description of the wrath of the tribulation, that we will be delivered from that. We're waiting for Christ to come from heaven, and he's going to take us home to be with him prior to the wrath to come. And if you look at Revelation, then it all fits right together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Bible says there, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So again, we've not been appointed unto wrath, but for deliverance. And again, the wrath of hell, we won't suffer for eternity, but also the wrath he's going to bring on this earth, we're not going to be involved in that. So here's the thing. If a mid-tribber comes up to you and he takes you over to 1 Corinthians 15:52, turn over to 1 Corinthians 15:52 with me. And it says, "In a moment, in the twink of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corrupt must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put in on immortality." So a mid-tribber asks you, he says, "Now wait a minute. The last trump, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 52, the last trump is when the resurrection occurs, the Lord coming back for his church." And we know at the study of Revelation then, he goes over to Revelation chapter 11 in verse number 15, that the seventh angel sounded the trump. And this is the beginning of the vials and the great wrath of God. And the seals have already transpired. The trumpets have gone through. The last trumpet introduces the vials, and the judgment of God is going to come. So he says that this is it, and that's the mid-tribulation point. So therefore, the Lord is coming back mid-tribulation. Well, what are you going to tell him? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, the last trump given to us in verse 52 of 1 Corinthians, and the last trump the angel sounds in Revelation 11:15, are two different trumpets. They've got to be if we're going to be pre-tribulational. Amen? But 1 Corinthians 15:52 would be the same as 1 Corinthians 4:16 and 17, where it says the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ then shall be raised. So the trump of God is going to sound, and that's the trump that's referred to here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The rapture and the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, take place again before the tribulation. It's the promise that we'll not go through the wrath, but there's other evidence that we find that helps us to know for certain that we're not mentioned and we're not involved in the wrath of Revelation. And so why then is 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 52 called the last trump when there are seven other trumps? And really there's another trump, the seventh trump in the last trump. That's the dirty story, amen? The seventh trump in the last one. And if you're going to believe in the last trump, then you're going to have to go all the way through the tribulation, and you don't get out midway, amen? Because there's a trump at the end of the tribulation time. And some have said there'll even be a trump at the end of the millennium, ushering in the new age and the new heaven and new earth. But the trump of 1 Thessalonians 14, or 4 rather, and 1 Corinthians 15 are blown by the angels and by God himself. And the last trump terminology is not to imply an absolute chronology of the trumpets as listed out, but rather it's saying, it doesn't say it's the last trump that's going to sound, and it's referenced to the church age. We're talking about the Lord coming back and taking his people out. And so the last trump is in context. It signals the resurrection, and it's blown by God at the end of the church age, as we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now let me just show you something else. It's just an illustration to show you what I'm talking about. In John 6:40, yeah, we believe in taking the Bible literally, incidentally, but you got to take it in context, and you have to look, compare Scripture with Scripture. In John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there's going to be a resurrection at the last day. Well, what's the last day here? This is when we're talking about being resurrected if you've died. When is the last day? It's important to know. Well, that's when the rapture takes place. So when's the rapture going to take place? In the last day. Well, is the last day that's ever going to be on the earth? Well, my Bible says the earth's going to go on forever and ever. It's going to be destroyed by fire. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. So if we're going to be literal, you know, in the last day, then, you know, we got to describe when that last day is. John 11:24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But when's the last day going to be again? Well, the last day here is reference to when the Lord comes back to get his children, to take them out prior to the tribulation, the wrath of God, which we read three scriptures said that the church and the Christian doesn't go through that wrath. Then that last day then is the time when the Lord comes back to take us out. Now, the trump marks of Revelation 11 marks the great wrath that's going to occur. So it's a different trump. And in Matthew 24 and verse number 29, Matthew 24:29, talking about, let's look at the verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So it's talking about the Lord coming back. Now, you have to take the context here, and this coming in Matthew 24 is not the rapture being spoken of. This is when he's going to come back to the earth. This is when going to bring judgment. And for whithersoever the carcass is, there the eagle shall be gathered together. See, that's not happening when the rapture takes place. That's when the judgment takes place. That's when the big battle takes place. Amen? Armageddon. When the Lord comes back and destroys the enemy that stands against him. And then verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, when the rapture takes place, not every eye is going to see him. Every eye is going to see him when he comes back in judgment. When he comes back for the rapture, he's going to be in the clouds. They're not going to see him. Those on earth will be caught up with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be at the Lord. The coming of the Lord is in several phases. First for the church, for the saints, and then he's coming back in judgment. And he's going to judge those on the earth with the battle of Armageddon. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. So I'm just saying, if you're going to go with the last trumpet, this trumpet here is further on down the road than Revelation 11 trumpet. So you got to watch out. You got to take into context what's being spoken of and realize that last is in relation to the context of the scripture given to us, and not last in the sense that it's the very last trumpet that's ever going to sound. Otherwise, well, Zechariah 9:14 tells about the trumpet that's going to sound, and making reference to the deliverance of Judah at some further point. So the mid-tribber is hanging his whole deal on that last trump of Revelation 15:52. But can't be that, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Now, I'll give you a little more insight then into why we understand through the book of Revelation that we're not in the tribulation period. I mean, if it's there, definitely we're not there. You know, Revelation chapter 1 talks about Jesus, 2 and 3 about the churches, message of the churches, 4 and 5 talks about the elders and the saints in heaven. Well, that's a good key right there. If the elders and the saints are in heaven, hey, who's the saints? Woo! That'll be us, amen? Resurrected out, and those that have been resurrected from the dead and caught up together with the Lord in the air. Verses 6 through 19 talks about the 7 years of tribulation in which you got 21 judgments. And, you know, the church or the Christian is not mentioned in chapter 6 through chapter 19. We're not mentioned. In fact, it says in 19 the Lord's going to come back in judgment with his army. And, hey, that's when we come back. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord through the rapture. And there's going to be two events that are going to take place while we're there, and that's going to be the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We're all going to give an account unto the Lord before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And in Revelation 19, 7 and 8, which talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Boy, let's read that one. I like that one. Well, I like the other one too, I guess. Kind of scary when you think about standing before the Lord and being judged for your works as a Christian. But in Revelation 19:7, the Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The marriage supper is ready. It's come. And so there is a fellowshipping taking place, and these events are going to take place while the tribulation is taking place here on the earth. But how will the Lord preach his gospel if the church isn't here during the tribulation time? People are saved in the tribulation time. How in the world could the church not be here if the gospel is going to be preached? Good question. Got the answer, though. Have you heard of the 144,000? Amen. What are they going to be doing? Preaching the gospel. Where they come from? 12,000 out of every tribe. And they're male Jews, Israelites. They're going to be out preaching. And then Revelation 11 tells us that for 42 months, there's going to be two witnesses that are going to be preaching. Well, that's great, isn't it? And then look with me in Revelation chapter 14. You remember all this from our study, I'm sure. Revelation 14 and verse number 6. And the Bible says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." So we got 144,000, we got two witnesses, we got an angel flying with the gospel and giving it out. Let me ask you a question. If the church was here to give out the gospel, why would the 144,000, the two witnesses and the angel be required? Because the church isn't here. The church has been taken out. The witness has to be given. And the witness is being given by these means that God has provided. And the witness is primarily to the Jew as well as those on the earth, but the Jew is the one that God's dealing with in the tribulation time, not only for judgment, along with the Antichrist and his crowd, but also in the matter of them being called back to him. The only way to get the church in tribulation is not to take the scriptures literally, but to take them symbolically. And like somebody said, look for the literal interpretation behind symbolism. There's a literal interpretation you're looking for in Scripture. 16 verses. There's a literal Israel on the earth. 16 times they're mentioned as being on the earth during the tribulation. How many times the church mentioned? Verse chapter 6 through 19? Zero. Letters to the churches. Revelation 4. John, come up hither. A type of the church being called out, and the church is not mentioned again till later on. Toward the end there, God's people are mentioned. Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined on thy people. And who is thy people? The Jew. So there's judgment upon the Jew. And they're going to be back in the land. They're going to be back in the temple and doing their worship, and the judgment is coming upon them. I tell you, it's a blessing when you stop and think about it that the Lord's coming back. When he comes, we're going to go and be with him. Isn't that a blessing? And it'll be prior to the wrath of God upon this earth. Now here's the deal. If you want to believe we're going through the wrath of the tribulation time, go ahead and believe it, I guess. But the only trouble is you're going to get pulled out before you go through the tribulation wrath. Amen. Nobody knows the date that the Lord's coming back. We've talked about that a lot of times. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, though. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians deals with the second coming of Christ. He says here, talking about when the Lord's coming back in destruction, coming back in judgment. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." So the times and the seasons. We are to be able to discern the times and the seasons of the coming of the Lord, when everything's going to start in progression. Again, the coming is in two aspects, the rapture and then the second coming, and the timetable God has in between is going to take place. Verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." Now, it's interesting to notice the pronouns that are being used here. Sudden destruction has come upon them. They shall say. And, you know, the difference there is the brethren listed in verse 1, the brethren listed in verse 4, those that are saved versus those that are lost. Who's going to get the judgment? The lost. And he's saying to us that those days are days that we're not in darkness. And he says that day is not going to overtake us in the sense that we're going to be called out, and we know what's going to transpire. We know what's going to happen. We know what he's talking about as far as his judgment coming. Now, again, you have the seals, the trumpets, and the vials, the judgments of God, the wrath of God. And it says the great wrath is that last 3.5 year time period of the tribulation. In Revelation 7:13, let's turn over there and look at it just a minute. Revelation 7:13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These are some that were saved and martyred in the tribulation time. But see, John doesn't recognize them. He said, "Who are they?" John says, "Well, you know who they are." But the tenure of scripture is John doesn't know who they are. He doesn't recognize them as church saints because they're martyrs that are saved during the tribulation time. And not the church. Not the church. Church is not listed there or given to us. Let me share one last scripture with you in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Revelation 3:10. This is the letter that he gives the churches. Revelation chapter 1 again is talking about the Lord. Revelation of Jesus Christ. "I am the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. I have the keys with me." Chapter 2 and 3 is letters to the churches. And just notice what he says here in Revelation 3:10. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation or trial, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." So what did he say there? Talking this message to the church of Philadelphia. He's saying, I'm keeping you from that hour. It's going to come upon all the world, and it's coming to try them that dwell upon the earth. Who's not going to be dwelling on the earth? The churches aren't going to be dwelling on the earth. The ones going to be dwelling on the earth are the ones that are receiving the judgment of God. And some of those people during that time that have not taken the mark of the beast are going to be saved and receive the Lord as their personal Savior. And most of them, if not all of them, will be martyred for the fact that they've trusted the Lord as their Savior. So I'm just saying tonight, you know, the way the scripture reads oftentimes, it may sound like that that day or that trumpet or the recognition of the Lord's coming, that it's in reference to just a single coming of the Lord, or it's something that's going to take place at a later date. But you have to take it in context, and you have to compare scripture with scripture, understanding that we are promised, and we're promised that we'll not go through wrath. You don't see the church listed in chapter 6 through 19, the time when God's wrath is being poured out. What you do see is that the saints come back with the Lord when he comes back in judgment in Revelation 19. We do know that the judgment seat of Christ is going to take place after the rapture. We do know that the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place along that time. And, you know, we're excited about the fact that we're not going to go through the wrath of the judgment of God. But, you know, you can take scripture and twist it and turn it and, you know, basically make it say whatever you want to say. But what it says is in Revelation 3:10 is that those that are upon the earth, them that dwell on the earth, those are the ones that are going to be receiving the judgment of God. So I can rejoice in the fact that I believe in a pre-tribulation, Lord coming back prior to the tribulation time. I can rejoice in the fact that I believe the tribulation is pre-millennial, and so the 7 years is prior to the millennial reign of Christ, and so I'm a pre-tribulationist, pre-millennialist, in the fact that I believe that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is coming back for His church prior to the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth. Now see, I've heard people, I remember there was a black preacher there in Macon, Georgia, and he was not very versed in the scriptures, didn't have any education as far as the Bible training. He had a zeal for the Lord. He'd come to buy a bus from us, and I started talking to him, and man, he didn't know hardly anything. And so what he thought was that the Lord's coming back and everything's happening. The Lord comes back, and when He comes back, the Armageddon takes place, and the saints are caught up with Him and all that. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and He comes in the clouds. You look at Acts chapter 1, it says this same Jesus, which is taken up to you, will come back in like manner. And it literally says He'll be on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible also says He's going to come back and He's going to fight the enemy at the Battle of Armageddon. So, I mean, if you don't make some discernments and realize we're talking about different events, then you're going to be very confused. And the same is true when you get to the matter of where the saints are going to go through the tribulation or not. They're just not mentioned. If they were going to go through the tribulation, then something would have been said about the church, about the saints, because the Lord loves His church. And something would have been said about the concern He would have for us. But see, we're going to be with Him. Amen? We're going to be in His very presence. And we can rest assured that when He comes, He'll be prior to the tribulation time, and we're going to be caught up to be with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the Scripture says. And 1 John says that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen? Have a glorified body like Jesus has. Be able to do things like Jesus does. To what degree? I don't know, but He said you'll be like Me. Sounds good to me. Because He could come and go inside and outside of a building. He could, He had power that men didn't have on this earth. How much are we going to have? I don't know. But I know we're going to have more than what we have now. And it's going to be a different environment than what we've got now. But don't let somebody try to talk you into saying that you got to go halfway through the tribulation time. Well, you got to go all the way through the tribulation time. Because it just isn't what Scripture teaches. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer.